Welcome to Zikhu Dafsi Money Member by Yoram Goldhar, and today we're talking about Bava Daf Kuf Yud off the end of the 9th parak, Hagozo 8 seem in the beginning of the 10th parak, Hagozo Umachil. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one was Tad Nabraisa, Nasim Ashim Yariv, Vekesvu Yadaya. If the Gazlan gave the Ashim to the first Mishmar of Yariv, and the money to the second Mishmar of Yadaya, Rav Yehuda says, Yachzer Kesev Eitzel Ashim. The money reverts to where the Ashim is, meaning it's given to a Yariv. The Chachamim say, Yachzer Ashim Eitzel Kesev. The Ashim reverts to where the money is, meaning Yadaya. The Gemara said, if the money was given to Yadaya during their own Mishmar, why would Rav Yehuda say that Yadaya must give the money to Yariv since they acted properly? The Chachamim's position is understood because Yariv improperly accepted the Ashim before the money was given, as Mishnah Tan Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Rav explained that the money was given to Yadaya during Yariv's Mishmar, so Rav Yehuda penalized them, but the Chachamim still penalized Yariv. Rebbe taught, according to Rav Yehuda, that if the Ashim is still extant and Yariv did not demand the money during their Mishmar, the Ashman is given to Yadaya because Yehoriv have waived their right to them. If Yadaya's Mishmar also passed without their demanding the Ashim, it reverts to the original law. Point number two, the 10th period begins, Hagozo Machilos Banav. If one robs something and feeds it to his children, V'hiniach Livnehem, or if he left it before them intact as an inheritance, Paturin Mil Lashalim, they are exempt from paying the owner for it. Rav Chissa said, Gazvu Nisiyashu Habalim, if one robs something and the owner did not despair of retrieving it, and another person came and ate it from the robber's possession, Ratz mizegova. If he wants, he may collect it from this robber, and if he wants, he may collect from that one who ate it. He explains that as long as the owner has not despaired, Rishuse Demarikai, it stands in the owner's possession. Therefore, the one who ate it took it from the owner's possession and is also liable. Rav Chista's challenge from our mission, which taught that the children who ate the stolen property are not liable. He answers that the mission's case is Lacher Yeush, after the owner's despair. Later, Rashi notes that Rami Bar Chama disagrees with Rav Chista. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that if the father left the robbed item to his children, they're not liable to pay. Rami Bar Chama said, Zosomer's Rishus Yoresh Kirishus Lokeach Dami. This teaches that an heir's domain is like a purchaser's domain, meaning it constitutes a Shinui Rishus, a change of domain. This Shinui Rishus, which follows the owner's Yeush, enables the heirs to acquire the item and keep it. Rava said, Rishus Yorish Lavka Rishus Lokeach Dami. An heir's domain is not like a purchaser's domain, and the heirs do not acquire the item. The mission's case is Kashal Chalim, when the heirs consumed it after inheriting it, and it cannot be returned. Rava's interpretation is challenged by the mission's conclusion. Ima Yadav Sheshbo Achrayis Chayavin Gushalim. If it was real property, they must pay, which the Gemara understands to mean items which are publicly recognizable as stolen, which the children must return to protect their father's honor. This implies the stolen item is extant. Rav explains the mission to mean they inherited land from the robber, which can be collected by the victim. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was Tana Braisa, Nasan Ashim L'Yariv, Vekesvu Yadaya. If the Gazlan gave the Ashim to the first Mishmar of Yariv, and the money to the second Mishmar of Yadaya, Rav Yehuda says, Yachzer Kesev Eitzel Ashim, the money reverts to where the Ashim is, meaning it's given to Yariv. The Chachamim say, Yachzer Ashim Eitzel Kesev, the Ashim reverts to where the money is, meaning Yadaya. The Gemara said, if the money was given to Yadaya during their own Mishmar, why would Rav Yehuda say that Yadaya must give the money to Yariv since they acted properly? The Chachamim's position is understood because Yariv improperly accepted the Ashim before the money was given, as Mishnah Tan Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. Rav explained that the money was given to Yadaya during Yariv's Mishmar, so Rav Yehuda penalized them, but the Chachamim still penalized Yariv. Rebbe taught, according to Rav Yehuda, that if the Ashim is still extant and Yariv did not demand the money during their Mishmar, the Ashman is given to Yadaya because Yehoriv have waived their right to them. If Yadaya's Mishmar also passed without their demanding the Ashim, it reverts to the original law. Point number two, the 10th period begins, Hagozo Machilos Banav. If one robs something and feeds it to his children, V'hiniach Livnehem, or if he left it before them intact as an inheritance, Paturin Mil Lashalim, they are exempt from paying the owner for it. Rav Chissa said, Gazvu Nisiyashu Habalim, if one robs something and the owner did not despair of retrieving it, and another person came and ate it from the robber's possession, Ratz mizegova. If he wants, he may collect it from this robber, and if he wants, he may collect from that one who ate it. He explains that as long as the owner has not despaired, Rishuse Demarikai, it stands in the owner's possession. Therefore, the one who ate it took it from the owner's possession and is also liable. Rav Chista's challenge from our mission, which taught that the children who ate the stolen property are not liable. He answers that the mission's case is Lacher Yeush, after the owner's despair. Later, Rashi notes that Rabbi Bar Chama disagrees with Rabbi Chisda. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that if the father left the robbed item to his children, they're not liable to pay. Rami Bar Chama said, Zos omer rishus yoresh k'rishus lokeach dami. This teaches that an heir's domain is like a purchaser's domain, meaning it constitutes a shinui rishus, a change of domain. This shinui rishus, which follows the owner's yeyush, enables the heirs to acquire the item and keep it. Rava said, Rishus Yorish love Rishus Lokeach Dami. An heir's domain is not like a purchaser's domain, and the heirs do not acquire the item. The Mishnah's case is Kashal Chalim, when the heirs consumed it after inheriting it, and it cannot be returned. Rava's interpretation is challenged by the Mishnah's conclusion. Ima yadav sheish bo achrayis chayavin ushalim. If it was real property, they must pay, which the Gemara understands to mean items which are publicly recognizable as stolen, which the children must return to protect their father's honor. This implies the stolen item is extant. Rav explains the Mishnah to mean they inherited land from the robber, which can be collected by the victim. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and our standard siman is a kayak. So here goes. While the Gazan was busy giving an ashim to the Kohanim in the first kayak and money to the Kohanim in the second kayak, the person who ate some food the Gazan had stolen before the yeush of the owner was paying the owner. Jealous of the boy enjoying the kayak his father stole and left over for him, since Rishus Yorish K'Rishus Lokeach Dami. So once again, in slow motion. While the Gazan was busy giving an ashim to the Kohanim in the first kayak, that must be one daf Kuf Yud Aleph. While the Gazan was busy giving an ashim to the Kohanim in the first kayak and money to the Kohanim in the second kayak, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Nasan Ashim Yoriv v'kesev yadaya. If the Gazan gave the ashim to the first mishmar of Yoriv and the money to the second mishmar of Yadaya, Rav Yehuda says Yachzer Kesev Eitzel Ashim. The money reverts to where the ashim is, meaning is given to Yoriv. The Chachamim say Yachzer Ashim Eitzel Kesev. The ashim reverts to where the money is, meaning Yadaya. The Gemara explains their positions. So, while the Gazan was busy giving an ashim to the Kohanim in the first kayak and money to the Kohanim in the second kayak, the person who ate some food the Gazan had stolen before the yeush of the owner was paying the owner, which reminds us, Rav Chisda said that if one robbed something and the owner did not despair of retrieving it, and another person came and ate it from the robber's possession, Ratz mizegova. If he wants, he may collect from this robber, and if he wants, he may collect from that one who ate it. He explains that as long as the owner has not despaired, it stands in the owner's possession. Therefore, the one who ate it took it from the owner's possession and is also liable. So, while the Gazan was busy giving an ashim to the Kohanim in the first kayak and money to the Kohanim in the second kayak, the person who ate some food the Gazan had stolen before the yeush of the owner was paying the owner. Jealous of the boy enjoying the kayak his father stole and left over for him, since Rishus Yoresh K'Rishus Lokeach Dami, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that if the father left the robbed item to his children, they're not liable to pay. Rami Bar Chama said, Zos omer rishus yoresh k'rishus lokeach dami. This teaches that an heir's domain is like a purchaser's domain, meaning it constitutes a shinui rishus, a change of domain. This shinui rishus, which follows the owner's yeush, enables the heirs to acquire the item and keep it. Rava said, Rishus yoresh lav k'rishus lokeach dami. An heir's domain is not like a purchaser's domain, and the heirs do not acquire the item. The Mishnah's case is Kashal Chalim, when the heirs consumed it after inheriting it, and it cannot be returned. So once again, while the Gazan was busy giving an ashim to the Kohanim in the first kayak and money to the Kohanim in the second kayak, the person who ate some food the Gazan had stolen before the yeush of the owner was paying the owner. Jealous of the boy enjoying the kayak his father stole and left over for him, since Rishus Yoresh K'Rishus Lokeach Dami. All right, so now it's time for Four Blah Back Chazara. Daf Kuf Zayin. So the Siman Daf Kuf Zayin is Couscous. So here goes. The Couscous restaurant owner Couscous, that must be one Daf Kuf Zayin. The Couscous restaurant owner who was motive mixes to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, which reminds us, Rabbi explained, Mifnei ma'amra Torah motive mixes satana yishava. Why did the Torah say that one who admits to a part of a claim must swear about his denial? Chazaka in ad meis panav bifnei balchobo. It's because there's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to deny his obligation to the face of his creditor. Rashi explains, because he lent him money. Thus completely denying a loan is believed without swearing. So the Couscous restaurant owner who was motive mixes to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motive mixes, which reminds us Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba taught that the Torah required swearing about a bikadon even for a full denial. Yochanan disagreed and said that a Shomer Chinam who falsely swears that the item was stolen from him, Eino Chayv Ad Sheikfor B'Mikzas V'Yodeh B'Mikzas, he's not liable to pay kafel unless he denies part of the claim and admits to part of the claim, because the Pasuk says, Ki Hu Zeh, this is it, regarding the Shomer Chinam's false claim, which is where he pays kafel. Similarly, Rami Bar Chama said, Arba Shomrim Srichin Kafir B'Mikzas V'Hodah B'Mikzas. The four Shomrim of the Torah require partial denial and partial admission to become obligated to swear, but would not swear for a full denial. So, the Kuskus restaurant owner who was motivated by mixes to his creditor because he was not so brazen to deny the whole loan to his face, overheard four shomrim seated at a table eating couscous say that they only swear when they are motivated by mixas. When his shomer chinam came forward to pay him kafel after he falsely swore the couscous supplies he was watching were stolen, when in fact he had used them to make his own couscous. Which reminds us, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says about a shomer chinam who falsely swears the item was stolen, he's not chayv to pay kafel unless he misappropriated, meaning he used it without permission, before he swore. The Torah requires that Shomer Chinam swears that he did not lay his hand upon his fellow's property, which implies that the kafel penalty for swearing falsely, which falls, is where he did misappropriate the pikadon. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan held he's liable by omedes alavusa, where the watched animal is standing by the trough, meaning where it was not used. Daf kufches, so the simmer daf kufches relates to kach, taking, and we use a pickpocket. So here goes. The pickpocket, that must be on daf kufches. The pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvua that obligates a toh and tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, which reminds us, a brisa on daf kufav amanav taught that where a shomer is toh and tainas ganav and pays kefal, he does not also pay a chomesh for admitting. Rami Bar Chama asked, is it the money which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomesh, or is it the shvua which obligates him in kefal that exempts him from the chomesh? Can both payments not be obligated by the same money or by the same shvua? So the pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvu that obligates the toh and tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, if the owner sued the shomer to return his pikadon, the nishba v'shilem, and he swore that it was stolen, exempting himself, and then paid for it voluntarily, and the thief was later identified, to whom is the kefal paid? Abai says it's paid to the Baal Pikadons, for since he troubled the owner with a shvua, the owner does not transfer the kefal payment to him. Rava says it's paid to the one whose possession the pikadon was, meaning the shomer, cave in the shilem, for since he eventually paid for the pikadon, makni lekfela, the owner transfers the kefal payment to him. So the pickpocket who stole a wallet from a rabbi while he was debating whether it's the mammon or shvua that obligates a toh and tainas ganav to pay kefal and not the chomesh, and then stole the kefal in the pocket of a shomer who was paid by a thief after the shomer swore an item was stolen and then paid for it voluntarily, decided not to pursue the shomer who swore an item was stolen since the thief admitted to the theft after he was caught and didn't have to pay kefal, even though he later denied the theft to the owner, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a shomer who swore the pikadon was stolen and the thief was discovered. Then the shomer sued the thief to return it and he admitted to his theft. Then the owner sued him and he denied the theft and ate him later testified to the theft. Is the thief exempt from kefal through his confession to the shomer, or did the shomer's role end when he swore? So the admission was not to a litigant. Daf kuftes. So the simon daf kuftes is a hatzala kid. So here goes. The hatzala member, hatzala, that must be on daf kuftes, hatzala kid. The Hatzalah member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son, who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempting to mimocha himself the payment, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether a gazlan can forgive a robbery payment to himself, such as in the case where one stole from his father and swore to deny it, and then his father died. So the Hatzalah member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son, who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempting to mimocha himself the payment, near the Hatzala kit, where a Mishmar of Kohanim were dividing the payment that was given to them by a fellow Kohen who had robbed a ger who subsequently died, which reminds us, if a Kohen robs a ger who subsequently dies without heirs, it's the current Mishmar that divides the payment, and this Kohen cannot keep the payment himself. So the Hatzala member who just declared a man dead and was shocked to hear the dead man's son who had previously stolen from his father and sworn denial, attempt to bemoch himself the payment, near the Hatzalah kit, where a Mishmar of Kohanim were dividing the payment that was given to them by a fellow Kohen who had robbed a ger, who subsequently died, across the street from where an off-duty Kohen was on his way to bring a carbon, anticipating getting the meat and the hides, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses from where we know that a Kohen may bring a carbon at any time, not even during his Mishmar, and that he gets to keep its meat and hides. Dav Kuf Yud. So the Simur Dav Kuf Yud is a gold key ceremony. So here goes. When the elderly Kohen awarded the gold key, that must be Simur Dav Kuf Yud. When the elderly Kohen awarded the gold key for many years of dedicated service, appointed another Kohen to bring his carbon, even though the meat and hides would go to the Mishmar, which reminds us, the Brisa for the previous daf concluded, if the Kohen bringing his carbon was old or sick, he may give his carbon to any Kohen he wishes to sacrifice, even not from the Kohen Mishmar, and the reward for its service, meaning its meat and its hide, are given to the men of the Kohen Mishmar. Rapapa explains the case is where he's able to perform the avodah and eating al yedei hadchak with difficulty. Avodah done with difficulty is valid, so he may also point another Kohen. Eating with difficulty is not valid, since it's considered achilas gasa, excessive eating. So the meat and hind are given to the Kohen Mishmar. So when the elderly Kohen awarded the gold key for many years of dedicated service, appointed another Kohen to bring his carbon, even though the meat and hides would go to the Mishmar, he saw a gazlan who came that evening to return what he stole from a ger who died without heirs, being turned away since the keren is called an ashim, and an ashim is not brought at night, which reminds us the next Mishnah teaches the law that if one robs a ger and swears in denial, who dies without heirs, he pays the principal and chomish to kohanim. A braisa darshan's ashim zekeren. The word ashim in the pasuk refers to the principal of the robbery, not a carbon. A moshev zechomish, and that is returned in the pasuk, refers to the chomish surcharge. This is the source of Rava's ruling, gezel ager shechizru b'layla, the robbery of a ger, which the gazlan returned to the kohanim at night, lo yatza, he did not fulfill his obligation. So when the elderly Kohen awarded the gold key for many years of dedicated service, appointed another Kohen to bring his carbon, even though the meat and hides would go to the Mishmar, he saw a gazlan who came that evening to return what he stole from a ger who died without heirs, being turned away since the keren is called an ashim, and an ashim is not brought at night, and told him to come back tomorrow during the day, and he would happily accept it as one who receives matanos, which reminds us, Rava asks, Kohanim begezel ager, regarding Kohanim, receiving the robbed property of a ger, Yorshin Havu or Mekabli Matanos Havu? Are they considered like the ger's heirs or the recipients of gifts from Hashem? A braisa lists the robbed property of a ger as one of the 24 Matnas Kohuna, gifts of Kohanim, proving that they are considered gifts. All right, so now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we discuss if it's the Mammon or Shvua, which obligates Kefil, that exempts from a Chomesh? That's on Duff. Kufches. Good number two, which stuff is the reason why one who is motive mimics us must take a shvua? That's on Daf. Kufzayin. Good number three, which stuff do we learn if one robbed someone and the owner did not despair, and then someone ate what the gazlan stole, the owner can also collect from the second person? That's on Daf. Kufyadav. Good number four, which stuff do we have a question if Kohanim that receive payment for gezel ager are considered yorshin or mekabli matanos? That's on Daf. Kufyud. Good number five. Which of the one the sources that a Kohen can bring a carbon whenever he wants and gets to keep the meat and hides? That's on Daf. Kuftes. Good number six. Which Daf do we machokas if Rishus Yoresh can Rishus Lokeach Dami? The Rishus of an heir is like the Rishus of a purchaser, meaning it constitutes a Shini Rishus. That's on Daf. Kuvyadav. Good number seven. Which stuff do we know when a Kohen steals from a ger who dies without heirs, the payment is divided by the current Mishmar? That's on Dav. Kuftes. Good number eight. Which stuff do we know that since the keren is called an Asham, a gazlan is not Yotzi returning it if he returns it at night? That's on Dav. Kuvyud. Good number nine. Which stuff do we have a case where one denies a pikadon in his possession to stall for time so he can retrieve the pikadon from the swamp? That's on Dav. Kufay. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we discuss what the din is if the gazlan gave the ashim to the first mishmar of Yoriv and the money to the second mishmar of Yedaya? That's on Dav. Kufyadav. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.